Good morning, everybody. Chapter 11 in Yeshayahu, one of the most important chapters in Tanakh. This is the chapter that defines and describes for us the personality of Mashiach, and it describes as well the epoch, the era, the period of Yemot HaMashiach, which was, of course, an essential and a basic part of Jewish dogma and creed. Animamin b'emuna shleima b'viat HaMashiach v'af al pi sheyitmameya im kol zeh achak elo b'chol yom sheyavo. We believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Mashiach. It is article of the faith number 12 in the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam. And here, this is the chapter. That means there are other places in Tanakh where we have allusions to, or we have additions to the description, but the basic description is right here. So, first of all, of course, it's important to understand the text itself so that we get a picture of what is the era like and what is Mashiach like. But there's another problem of a more serious nature, and that is the place here, now. Why does it appear in Yeshayahu now? At what moment in history did we end chapter 10? Chapter 10 ends with Sanherib and the forces of Assyria surrounding Yerushalayim. There's some place around Givat Zorfatit, and they're looking down on Yerushalayim. And tomorrow is going to be the day on which they pluck the ripe plum and capture the city. And of course, during the course of the night, what happens is that the entire camp of Sanherib, king of Ashur, is wiped out, and the threat to Yerushalayim is lifted in the most miraculous way of all. Now comes chapter 11. V'yotza choter mikeza Yishai. Choter Yishai. A choter will come out mikeza Yishai. V'netze mishoroshov yifre. So, we did explain last week that there's a difference between a geza and a shodesh. A geza is a trunk. A shodesh is a root. A geza means that part of the tree still exists above ground. When we talk about shodesh, it means that above ground there's nothing, but there are some roots deeply embedded in the earth. So the Yotza Choter, from a tree trunk, there can be shoots that come out. The Yotza Choter, Migeza Yishai, the Geza is the trunk of Yishai. David comes from Yishai. David ben Yishai. Don't feel bad. We just started. a geza is a trunk. And a choter, you see it often. Out of a trunk in the ground, something will come out. A choter is a shoot. Who asked that question? Oh, you asked. I don't know. I thought that, yeah, she's a student, and she receives the same kind of treatment I give all my students. The yotza choter. So you know what occurs to me? You know what occurs to me now after all the times that I've learned this? The Haggadah. Haggadah. What did he do to the Shunra? Didn't he use a Chutra to beat the Shunra? The Chutra is the staff, the stick with which he beats the cat. Chutra is the Aramaic for Choter. Choter is a stick, a shoot that comes out, yes?
It wouldn't really be a stick, because a Choter would behave like a whip.
That's right. So it's like yeah. But that's what they did. They didn't use whips, they used a branch. They used a branch. V'yotza choter mikeza yishai. V'netzer. A netzer, of course, is a... that's already a... Well, maybe one is a twig. No, that's something smaller. This is smaller because this is coming out of a root of the ground. In other words, there from the ground, there's nothing there. And then out comes the netzer comes out of the... A sucker?
That's what comes out of the
tongue. Uh-huh, very good. Yifre, of course, means that it blossoms, it grows. We will see in a moment that the Malbim says that there are two possibilities in history. One possibility in history is that, you know, there are clearly defined remnants of the house of David, and from that house of David comes the shoot. There may even be periods in history where everything is concealed and nothing is revealed. And there, at the most unexpected moment of all, out of the ground, you didn't even know that there was a root there. It was so covered and so concealed and so gone. Not visible by the naked eye, and out will come the twig. Let's read this. This first Malbim is a classic Malbim. There are a few lines of it that we learned last year. You have your sheets in front of you. Yotza Choter Migeza Yishai. The Malbim is down at the bottom of the page on the right hand side. Third line, V'yotza.
No.
Huh? The old, last week's. Page Kuf Pei Dalet. V'yotza Choter Migeza Yishai. The one I gave you last week. Hamalitza Nikshedet Im Ha'inyan Shalamala. Hayar Hagadol Shal Machana Sen Chsanchedev Yikotzeit. He's so beautiful. He's so beautiful, the Malbim. What was the last pasuk in chapter 10? The last pasuk in chapter 10 uses as a metaphor the destruction of the mighty forces of Sanherev. It's described as a... the destruction of the mighty forces of Sanherev is described as a forest that's cut down. Mighty trees. V'halavonon, what were the last few words of chapter 10? Halavonon, the mighty trees of the Lebanon, Ba'adir Yipol, are going to fall. So what was the metaphor for Sanherev? Sanherev is a strong, powerful, mighty forest. On the other hand, what is the house of David? The house of David is described either as nothing more than a little trunk ala of a little tree ala. For that matter, there might not even be a trunk, but that's where real strength is going to be. Not the mighty cedars of Lebanon. So look in the Malbim. Hamalitza Nikshedet, the metaphor is bound in Ha'inyan Shalamala, that which was said earlier, Hayar HaGadol, the great forest of Machana Sancheret Yikatzeitz. The great forest of the Cape of Sancheret is going to be cut down. Omnam Choter Echad, one shoot, Yetzei Migeza Yishai, is going to come from the source, from the trunk of Yishai, Vuhu Yihye Liyar Gadol. That's going to be the great forest. Kemo Shekosef, as it says, Pasuk later in Yishayahu, Haboim, Yashrish Yaakov Yotzatz Ufarach Yisrael. This is the beginning of the Haftorah for Parashat Shemot. Haboyim, in days to come, Yashrish Yaakov is going to take root, and then Yotzitz Ufarach Yisrael, blossom and flower Israel. It will grow out of the ground. Ulefizeh Mevuar Miseder Haktuvim Shenevuah Zot Hi Al Chizkia Ach HaYehudim HaMuftachim Bo. Leonid Kaim was. This is the question as he enunciated. With the fact that chapter 11 is so clearly bound, tied to chapter 10, that means we're talking at the time of the fall of Sanherib. The Assyrian Empire comes crushing down to the ground outside of of Yerushalayim. And they who were the cedars of Lebanon, the little one, the small little weak Israel is going to blossom forth. Which means that chapter 11 follows chapter 10 historically. And therefore it must mean, who is this that comes from the Geza of Yishai? Who is it? This must be Chizkiyahu, who is that time king of Yehuda. However, everything that it says in chapter 11 was never fulfilled in the days of Chizkiyahu. If the pasuk is describing Chizkiyahu that he is going to be the shoot that's going to come from the house of Yishai, and the spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and fear of God is going to come down upon him, and he's going to judge many nations and he's going to admonish them, the whole description of Mashiach that's going to come, but it didn't happen in the days of Chizkiyahu. So what is the relationship? What happened? Yeah, but if it's talking about Chizkiyahu, he grew already. He was there. He was on the spot. So you just now took one big whole Malbim and you condensed it into one word. The word was potential. The prophecy of Yeshayahu is that Chizkiyahu had the potential. He could have been Mashiach. And we mentioned this a number of times from our right. He could have been. And something simply didn't work out. So therefore, whatever is said here about Chizkiyahu applies to whoever is going to be the Mashiach, whenever it will be. But there are a number of other extremely important ideas that the Malbim says over here. V'lachein ha'emet eid la'atzmo. Therefore, the truth, it's a beautiful term that he says, the truth testifies for itself. You don't need to prove the truth. The truth is truth in and of itself. Ki hi nevuah tidah l'acharit hayamim, that this prophecy is a prophecy for the future, about the end of days. V'rashi rotzo l'taken hemshech ha'mikra'ot b'mashe pireish, ki ike nevuah zu nemra al aseret ha'shvotim shegolu b'mei chizkia, v'heim lo shavu oz v'nishinu baklach v'chavor ad eis kates. Says Rashi over here is also troubled by how does this nevuah, chapter 11, how does it follow chapter 10? Because things did not happen as they were. So he says that it's talking about the 10 tribes. We'll get to Rashi later. Talking about the 10 tribes that had been exiled in the days of Chizkiyahu, out all the way to places on the other end of the earth, Bachlach and Chavor, ad eight kates, and they're going to be there until the end of days. Lachain, achash, ehiski, mapalatzach, cherev, after the Navi tells us about the fall of Sancherev, Omer, the Navi says, v'im tishal, u'ma yiye im ha'ovdim v'hanidachim ha'ele. This, he's still explaining Rashi's pshat. Rashi's pshat is, if such a great victory now took place at the gates of Yerushalayim, and it seems we are now at the dawn of a new era, but wait a minute, 80% of the Jewish people are not here to participate in this. They are off at the other ends of the earth. What's going to happen with them? Rashi says that this chapter comes to answer that question. In other words, why does the chapter of Moshiach follow the fall of Sancheret? Because if you can ask, so now, all right, now things are looking up for Yehuda. What about all those Jews that are off in exile? So the Navi comes and tells you that there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day later on. They're not going to be lost. They're not going to be forgotten. All of those who are lost and dispersed and cast out at the very ends of the earth are going to be brought back. Because in this chapter itself, remember, it says, it describes exactly the Kibbutz Goliot. Kibbutz Goliot is Pasuk 11 in chapter 11 over here talks about God who's going to gather in the exiles. And by the way, the Rambam that you have in front of you, says first halacha, Hamelech HaMashiach. HaMelech HaMashiach atid la'amod u'lahachzir malchut David liyashna. King Mashiach is going to arise and return Malchut David, the kingdom of David, to its original, I mean, that's a term that you should all know, pretty much, you know, La'chazir atara liyoshna, Malchut David liyoshna, La'menshala harishana, he's going to bring it back to where it was in the days of old, U'boneh ha-mikdash, U'mikabetz nidichei Yisrael. I'm just reading, I just took a moment out to read from the Rambam. I gave you the Rambam. I gave you the Rambam. Good. Yeah, put it down. Okay. Yeah. Because there's a Jew in Yerushalayim, Eliyahu Avichayil, who has been working on this for probably most of his life. And he has made contact with Jews in Afghanistan, Pakistan, all over. So in this chapter, not only are we told of the personality of King Mashiach, not only do we have a description of what life is going to be like in the days of Mashiach, you know, the lion will lie down with the lamb. That's going to be described here. But what is going to be one of the first acts that will take place during the time of the Mashiach? That's Pasuk 11. V'hoya b'yom ahu, on that day, Yosef Hashem sheinit yado, God is going to send out his hand a second time, liknot et sha'ar amo, to acquire the remnants of his people that will remain, the me'ashur, me'mitzchayim, me'patos, me'kush, me'elom, me'shina, me'chamatu, me'yayam. In other words, kibbutz Goliath is an integral and basic part of the function of Mashiach. So that's how Rashi learns. The relationship between chapter 11 to chapter 10 is simply the fact that here, great things have happened in Yehuda, and it seems like the dawn of a new era. Oh, but what's going to be with those Jews who've already been taken off into exile? What's going to happen with them? So along comes chapter 11 to say that there is going to be a period in history at which there's going to be a king called Mashiach, and it's going to be a new era, unparalleled and unmatched in all of time. And one of the essential ingredients of that period is that Jews are going to be gathered in again to Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi connects chapter 11 to chapter 10. Therefore, Rashi doesn't have the problem of having to explain, well, it looks like the Navi is saying that Chizkiyahu is Mashiach, but it was never fulfilled in his day. He doesn't have that problem, Rashi. Because Rashi says that really it's talking about the 10 tribes, and it's talking about what will happen ultimately at the end of history. Now back to the Malden. Four lines from the bottom. Meshiv. So the answer of the chapter is, Od Chazon Lamoei, there is still time for this vision, Ba'atid, in the future. Ki yetzei choter migeza Yishai Yeshut is going to come from the trunk of Yishai. Ad kan tevorot. These are the words of Rashi. V'im ha'ashkofa ha'nechona matzonu b'tvorim ha'ela shoresh chazak. Somebody whose ashkofa is nevona, with a great deal, a high level of understanding, we find in these words an extremely strong shoresh, a root of Jewish belief, v'hu, and that's the following. This is, the Malum says it here, I believe, for the first time, but then it is going to be repeated in a number of places in Tanakh. And he says, Ki tekef me'et ha-galut ha-rishonah ha-klalit sh'hayta b'mei Sancherev, me'et ha-hi hitchila zman ha-gola. The possibility of great redemption and the period of great redemption, the potential of Geula, started at the moment of the Great Exile. In the days of Chizkiyahu, Sancherev, Jews were taken off into exile. You know, there can only be Geula once you have Jews in exile. And the moment that they arrive in exile, from that moment on and further begins the possibility of redemption. Ritzoni, what I mean is, from that time, this is the last line in the Malbim on page Kuf Pei Dalet. The last line in the Malbim. Shemeit hahi hitchilu hanavim. From that time, the prophets began to prophesy. Ki yavo goel klali. There will become a general redeemer. She yikabetz hanidachim ha'elu, is going to gather in these dispersed. Now, next page. Kuf hey, hey. May Arba Kamfot Haaretz is going to gather them in from all four corners of the world. Ki hagula shahaita beinatayim migolad bavel lo haita dak l'shevet Yehuda lo klalit. The redemption of Jews from Babel, the return, Shivat Zion, was not a general redemption. It was only for the tribe of Yehuda. The 10 tribes did not return from Babel. V'acha shahagu'ula klolet yesh lo shnei zvanim. Now, the general greater redemption, there are two possible times. Kemosha Kosev, as there's a pasuk later in Yeshayahu, Zachu, if Israel is worthy, Achishena, I will hasten the Geula. Lo Zachu, if they are unworthy, Be'ita, it will come at her proper time. And now the Malbim explains, Aleph, Shehu, Aleph, Hazman HaKatsuv HaShel Lo Yavor Minhu V'Hola. There is the set time, the final date for Geula, and it will never go beyond that. There's a final date. By that time, regardless of what's happening in the world, there's going to be redemption. But then there is another possibility, and that's Bet. The possibility of Lifnei Hazman Hahu, before that set time. In Yizku, Ayidei Ma'asim Tovim, if Jews are going to be worthy because of their good deeds, Hine Efsharuyot HaGu'ula Al Pizchut HaMaisim V'Hatshuva. This possibility, the second one, the possibility that our good deeds will hasten the Ge'ula, do you know when that began? At what moment in history it began? At the end of chapter 10 of Yeshayahu, with the destruction of Ashur, and the possibility now for Jews to return. Hitchila taket mimei Chizkio. It started immediately in the days of Chizkio. Val hakavana hazot, and this was the intention, omru beperek chelet. That's what the Gemara meant in Perek Chelet in Sanhedrin, the last paragraph of Sanhedrin. It said, Bikesh Hashem lazot et Chizkio Mashiach. God wanted to make Chizkio Mashiach, that Sancherev Gogu Magog. He wanted to make Sancherev Gogu Magog, the ultimate last battle in history. Rakshagoram Ezechet. There was some sin that caused that could not be the Messianic era. Ari Nishom, see what it says there. Kavanatam. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means that we Jews have been worthy. Chizkio could have been Mashiach, and that had the potential of being the period of Mashiach. What potential? The potential that good deeds can hasten the coming of the Mashiach. Kavanatam, she'im hayu zochim, if they would have been worthy, or Yocheskio, atzmo hagoyel haklali, Chizkio himself would have been the general redeemer. V'chol hayiudim ha'atidim, and all of the things that are destined for the future, hayu mitkaimim v'yamav, would become fulfilled in his days. V'acha shelo zochu az, but since they were not worthy at that time, hadova tolui v'omeid al efsheruyuto ad bo zman hamugbol she'oz yigalu bechrech. It all remains in suspension until the appointed time that had been decided by God. And during that entire period of time, there always exists the possibility that because of our deeds, we can hasten the coming of Moshiach. V'lachem, samach nevu azu, shall be yotzachotim, yigezer yishai el mapalat sancheres. So therefore the Malbim says that's why this chapter, that's why chapter 11 follows chapter 10, because the potential, the possibility of Mashiach and general redemption started with the fall of Sancheret. This is the first moment, this is the first opportunity at which it's possible. So therefore it's so natural that this chapter 11 should follow chapter 10. Kim hoyu zakoyim, because if they would have been worthy then, haitamit kayemet hanavuahaz, this whole prophecy would have been fulfilled then. Ulam Hatnoim ha'elu shedivarnu bi'er hachoza atzmo b'keifa l'sham. This is the beautiful part is, okay, so the Malbim has told us this. Where does he see it in the words of the Navi? I mean, he says that there are two possibilities. One is the ultimate date, or we can bring it even earlier. So he says the Navi himself in his words said it, Ulam hatna'im ha'ela shedibarnu. These conditions that we talked about, bi'er ha'choze atzmo b'keifel lishono, the visionary, the prophet, explained it himself by his double language. The fact that he uses two phrases, v'yotzachote migeza yishai, v'neitza mishirosh shav yivya. So he says, v'yotzachote migeza yishai, v'neitza mishirosh, ki yesh hevdel ben geza u'ben sharesh. Now, here's, of course, one of the classic examples of what the Malbim does throughout all of Tanakh. As far as the Malbim is concerned, there are no such things as synonyms in all of Tanakh. There's therefore no such thing as just repetitions for poetic or other reasons, which many of the Mepharshim, the Radak and the Mitzudas, will say it time and time again, and in any given chapter 10 times. That the second phrase, which seems similar to the first phrase, is really a repetition of the same idea, except that the repetition is done in different terminology in order that you should have the beauty of the poetic prophetic terms. That's what the Malbim rejects that, and therefore his genius was that he was able to go through an entire Tanakh and show that there is no simple repetition. Here we have a passage that seems, you know, very poetic. Three words here, three words there, both of them talking about shoots and twigs and flowers and things growing out of the ground. Isn't it beautiful? He says, no, every word has meaning. So therefore, the Malbim says the following, Kiyesh Hevdel, there's a difference between Geza and Shodesh. HaShodesh hu tachat ha'aretz, v'hageza hu ha'etz ha'boleik min ha'aretz, somnuch l'sharshav. We said it in our explanation, the shoresh is a root. There's always something that's completely concealed beneath the ground. The geza is that which rises up above the ground level by the shoresh, by the root. V'yeshevdel, there's also a difference between choter and netzer. Ki ha'ilon ha'niktzatz v'gizo adayim kayam. A tree that has been cut down and its trunk still exists. V'yoshev la'atzniach me'gizo, anything that's going to grow from the trunk, oz hageza atzmo yigba la'at la'at v'yigdal. You know what happens? The trunk itself seems to begin to rise and grow. Gidul ze nikra choter. This growth that comes out of the trunk is called a choter, ki habad hayotze min hageza hu av v'chazak. What's going to come out of a trunk is going to be a thick piece of wood and strong. What's going to come out of a root from below the ground is going to be a soft, thin twigala. That's right, the shoot. So he says, Aval, in Gam Hagez, what happens if the root, the trunk has also been cut? Remove the trunk, rak hashodesh nishabar, it's only the root remains in the earth. V'yoshev litzmach mishorosho, and something is going to grow out of the root. Oz ha-kidul hazeh, that which grows, lo yityachez od el ha-eitz ha-lishon, that's no longer related to what was there before, because nothing was left before. The choter that comes out of the trunk that remained is related to the trunk. The nature that's going to come out of a shoresh in the ground is really a new sapling. That kinetiyah chadasha, it's a new growth. Vayonek hazeh olim an ashoresh, and this sapling that grows from the root is soft and weak, and it's called a nature. So therefore, he says, v'zehu shama, that's what Yeshaya was telling us. Oh, one possibility is ki yetzer chote migeza yishai. Vohu im yizke, if Jews are worthy, then from a strong trunk is going to come a strong choter, thick, powerful, mighty. If Jews will be worthy and tiyar gula klalit take if yimechizkiyo, it will come immediately. The general. And therefore he says, if it's going to come now, in the days of Chizkiyahu, take a look, it's so beautiful. if it's going to come now in the days of Chizkiyos, so you know what we have now? There is a king in Yerushalayim from the house of Yishai. So you know what it is? From that gezal, that trunk called the house of Yishai, comes a mighty king, and that's Chizkiyos. But what happens if it doesn't happen in the days of Chizkiyos? They're unworthy, and therefore long period of history is going to pass. There won't be a king. There won't be a king from the house of David. Everything is going to be concealed. Then it's going to be like a sapling that comes out of the ground. So take a look what he says. The Yotzachotev, for who in Yisku, if they will be worthy, to hear Agulah Klalit, the general redemption is going to be taken immediately. Be Mechizkio in the days of Chizkio. Shos Haya Adayin Malchus. Based David Kayemet, there still was a kingdom of the house of David. Vuhu b'melitza, so the metaphor is shegeza Yisha adayin kayom. The trunk of Yishai is still existing. The yichus hamashiach and the relationship of Mashiach and Malchus based David, who ki yichus hachoter ala geza. Therefore, the relationship of the Mashiach to the house of David is like the choter that comes out of the. Now the Geza, Shehu Guf Ha'ilon, it comes out from the body of the tree. HaKodem, that was there before, HaMitchadesh Kvar, V'Hodar, it grows out and comes through this. Or there's a second possibility. V'Neitzom Yishodosh Yifreh. Shehu in Lo Yisgul Yigoyel Atosh, they're not going to be worthy of being redeemed now. V'Yavru Yidan V'Yidanim, and many, many times are going to pass. Achekam HaGeza Yitpatel, there no longer will be a trunk. Shahu, which means Shetufsak Malchus Beis David Mikol V'Kol, there's going to be an end to the kingdom of the house of David completely. However, Iko Shoru Shohi Ba'adu Shavuka, an Aramaic term which means the real root is down there in the ground. It's dormant and it's waiting for the moment that it's going to come bursting forth. The only thing that's going to remain is the root that's hidden in the earth and cannot be seen. When the time comes, a sapling is going to come out of that root. Yifre means something new that is developing. It's not coming out of a trunk, it's coming out of a root that's there. Deep in the ground, shezemit yachis lahafra'ah chadasha al neitzer rach v'yonek, a soft and a nursing sapling, shein lo shum yichusim ha'ilan akodem, and is not related, does not come out of the previous tree. So therefore, it says very clearly, the yotzah choter, which is the first possibility that's mentioned in the pasuk, the choter coming from Geza Yishai, which means Bet David, the house of David still exists, and Chizkiyo is going to be Mashiach. Otherwise, if it will have to wait for some later period of history, then it's going to be something that's going to come from a Shodesh. And therefore, the Pasuk. All right, let's. Yes. A Nesher is an eagle. And also. The moniot to take people who are going to the airport. A piece of land.
And here you have where they're being surrounded by the enemy, and also that you have Mashiach. I'm just wondering if it's a pattern in Tanakh.
Well, so therefore what you have brought me to is something that I have said on a number of occasions in the past, and it's based in part upon this Malbim, and I had said it in the past in the name of Rav Avram HaKohen Pam Shlita Rashiv of Torah V'Das, where he says that here in this chapter is being established a pattern that will take place in all of history. That following every period of extreme suffering comes a period in which God turns to his people in great mercy and compassion. He bases it on a pasuk in Torah, in Parashat Ekev, where Moshe says, Kasher yiyaser, as a man will admonish his son, Kain Hashem Elokecha miyasrecha. That's how God, your God, chastises and admonishes you. Kasher yiyaser ish et beno, Hashem Elokecha miyasrecha. So Rav Palm said that the pasuk means the following. There's a corollary to the pasuk. The corollary to the pasuk is that what does a father do after he admonishes a child? He what? He hugs him. He attempts to rebuild the bridges. He attempts to regain and recapture the love of the son. And then he pours out a great outpouring of love comes from the father. So, he says, is the pattern in Jewish history. After every period of extreme suffering, and the first of which was Sancheriv, can't get any worse than that. Remember, we never lose sight of the fact that 80% of Jews have been exiled from the land. The whole country except Yerushalayim is in the hands of the enemy. We're talking about the worst tragedy that has befallen them up until that time. From the depths of that tragedy comes the potential of Mashiach. Palm. Avram HaKohen Palm. He is the God will be Israel today in the United States of America. He cited four periods in Jewish history where we see it clearly, and there are others. The first one is here, chapter 11. Sancheriv has sent 80% of Jews off into exile. The whole country except Yerushalayim is in his hands. They thought that this is it, this is the end of the Jewish people as they knew them. And at that moment, all of a sudden, what begins is a process that in its potential, I can't stop using that great word, in its potential, it has the seeds of Geula, because God wants to embrace his people and he wants to rebuild the bridges and pour out his loving kindness to them. He cited three other periods in history. The next period in history was the period of Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kochva. Rabbi Akiva, the Rambam says, and we'll see it later in the Rambam here, Rabbi Akiva and all the men of the great men of his generation thought that Bar Kochva was Mashiach. Did they make a mistake? Did Rabbi Akiva and all the great people of his generation make a mistake? What are you talking about? No, he says, they didn't make a mistake. What Rabbi Akiva and all the great of his generation knew, that after the suffering under Rome that they had experienced in their time, the moment had to come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to embrace the Jewish people and pour out his love. And therefore they saw this potential of Mashiach in the personality of Bar Kochva. But there again, just as the Gemara had said with regard to Chizkiyahu, there was sin, and the sin simply didn't permit the potential to become actual and real. So the Rambam says, and Chazal say, Bar Kochva could have been Mashiach. There was something something that had gone wrong. Sin in Bar Kochva, and the fact is that the Medrash on Eicha and the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Tainis that describe the period of Bar Kochva seem to point to conceit and pride as having been the sin. There was even a battle cry or a bumper sticker.
He put a coin out,
but there was a bumper sticker also, in which they said to the Rebbe, listen, just don't help our enemies and let us do what we can. Basically, they were saying, you know, just leave it up to us. We'll take care of everything. It was this sense of, I mean, I don't know if it was, didn't have to be said, but if it was a prevalent attitude that we can take care of these Romans, we're on a roll. And the sin of pride, that was the sin in the days of Bar Kokhba. So Rabbi Akiva didn't make a mistake. It was all possible. It was all possible. But it didn't materialize. The third period in history that he cited was the period of Chachmei Tzvat. 17th century, 1650, 1660, you have a collection in Tzvat, up in the north, an awesome collection of giants. You have the Arizal, you have Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, who wrote the Lechot Dodi, you have the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo. I mean, we're talking about giants have gathered in Tzvat. There was something about those giants, and the place where it is expressed most, best, is in Lechot Dodi. Learn Lechot Dodi. Lechot Dodi is, it really describes the Gedolim of Tzvat. In Tzvat, you understand, their shuls face south. Understand? Okay? They face Yerushalayim. What is all of Lechot Dodi about? Lechot Dodi is a song of Mashiach. Al Yad Ben Yishai Beit Halachmi. And they have a sitter? No, it's a weekday sitter. It's a weekday sitter. I know what kind of sitter you would bring. Okay? His odity. Well, first of all, it's talking about Yerushalayim, the Yerushalayim Hitnari. Cleanse yourself off. May offer Kumi. Yerushalayim, rise from the dust. Lifshi bigdei sefarte chami, put on the garments of glory. Kivo oreich, your light is coming. The Or HaGeula is on the way. It's a description of David ben Yishai. It's a description of a Yerushalayim that's shining and awake and beautiful, ready to receive Mashiach. The whole Lechot Dodi is a song to the period of Mashiach. Yomin u'smol tifrotzi, you're going to spread out to the right and to the left. You're going to spread out all over. Yerushalayim is going to be bigger than it ever was. There's going to be great joy in the city. Kim Solstich Havashim is going to be happy and full of joy with you. Kim Sol's Choson al-Kala, the way a Choson is happy with his Kala. Talk about an amazing Lechot Dodi is gorgeous. Why did Rav Shlomo Alkavitz write that in 1660 or so? Not only that, it expressed itself in an unbelievable psak halacha. A machlokas broke out. The original smicha. Smicha is ordination for the rabbinate. Now, I mean, I love rabbis, and smicha is a very good thing to have. It certainly can cover up certain cracks in the walls of, but it's not the real smicha. There was a form of smicha that gave one the right to serve on a Sanhedrin and pass judgment in laws of capital punishment. To be a member of Sanhedrin or a member of a Bedin in Eretz Yisrael. So there was a smicha that was given from Moshe to Yoshua and Parshat Pinchas. Moshe stretches out his hands over Yoshua and he confers upon him the title of smicha. Therefore, he can be a paskin in matters of capital punishment. And so, for 1,000 years, there was uninterrupted, more than 1,000 years, 1,500 years, there was uninterrupted smicha, the smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu, because everybody who passed it on, it was really that the power that was vested in him via a direct connection to Moshe. The Rambam writes, once this has been terminated, there's an end, it's broken, the chain is over. Is there any possibility of renewing it? So the Rambam says that if the majority of Gedolei Eretz Yisrael can agree and confer smicha on an individual, that smicha is equal to the smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu. First of all, he understood, of course, it didn't even occur to him for a moment that you need a unanimous, I mean, nothing by Jews is ever unanimous. But if you have the majority of Gedolei Eretz Yisrael giving smicha to a person, then he has smicha. And of all things, in that period, in the middle of the 17th century, that became an issue that exploded onto the scene. And Gedolei Olam took sides, and there was a period of time that the majority of Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael agreed to give smicha. Rabbi Yosef Karo was one of those who was given smicha. I think Rabbi Shlomo Malkovitz, there were a few people who received smicha. Rav Palm asks, why was there a need for this kind of a struggle to break out at that particular moment in history? Well, they had nothing better to do with themselves than think about giving smicha that nobody had talked about for over 1,000 years. What was it that triggered the interest? It was more than that. It seemed that it was more than an interest. It was a need. So he says, because they felt that they could already hear the footsteps of Mashiach. That's why Reb Shlomo Malkovitz wrote the Lechododi. That's why the Chachmei Tzfat were the ones who were involved so much in Kabbalah and were already talking about Geula. But why? Why then? And therefore, if there's going to be Geula, then you need a Sanhedrin. Because all of Jewish law is going to return to what it originally was. You don't have to look at it, but you can trust me. The Rambam says, after we wrote about Melach Mashiach, that mekabetz nidechei Yisrael, he gathers in the dispersed of Israel, v'chozrin kol ha-mishpatim b'yomav kishahayu mekodem, all justice and all laws return to what they were originally. It means you're going to have a Sanhedrin. Why did they feel that they could hear the footsteps of Mashiach? Spain. It was after the expulsion of Jews from Spain. It was 50 years earlier, but the expulsion of Jews from Spain was such a shattering experience to the Jewish world. It sent shockwaves through the Jewish world for hundreds of years. We're talking about the home of Torah was shattered and destroyed. Not only talking about hundreds of thousands of Jews that were killed, those who were lost on the high seas. It was like a churban bayit shlishi. That's what it was. And therefore, they felt that after such a terrible period of suffering, you know what now can begin to operate and become actual and become real. Now is the moment at which it becomes possible for Geula, and they felt it in the air. And most probably it could have been, except for some reason unknown to us. So therefore, that's why they attempted to reestablish the Sanhedrin. That's why they talked in such glowing terms of Yerushalayim and David and Malchus based David, because they felt it. Oh no, you did absolutely not. They assumed that it was all. You know what they assumed? That Mashiach is coming and he's mekabetz nidchei Yisrael. He's going to bring them all back. They were preparing the ground, that's right. Exactly. A date or a time? A figure, no. 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 There was no Bar Kochva or Chizkiyahu.
Aren't they the example for many people today?
That's a very, very... No, she's not laughing, she's smiling. She's smiling. In other words, yeah. No, this is the excuse. All right, yeah. Should I sing it? I want to go home. All right, okay. When Mashiach comes, you understand, I'm going to go home. I have a feeling that what they don't understand is that there will be major waves of Aliyah that are going to come even before Mashiach. Mashiach is going to do the final ingathering. In other words, the diehards, who are maybe waiting for tickets to be a little less expensive on El Al so that they should come on Aliyah. All right? But she's absolutely right. She's absolutely right.
She's very, very strong. They don't come in
the country.
It's presumptuous of us to come. It's presumptuous. So I'll explain. Yes, go ahead. Really? Tell me that again. Say that again.
The Ottoman Empire
welcomed Jews here, and they didn't come. Then you know what? Maybe that's the chet. That's the chet. No, no, it's much better. You see, at the same time that we're going to see in this chapter that Moshiach brings them back, I can also quote for you hundreds of psukim, and many of them right here, right here in Yeshayahu. Uvo'u ha'ovdim me'eretz Ashur v'anidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. There are those who are going to come on their own. I give, of course. There are those who will come on their own. The Meshugayim. Mi'ele ka'of. We're going to have what?
Yeah.
The Mavarot will send us, you know. The Machanot are played 10, yes.
I'm not sure about what you said about the controversy at the time of the great, our giants living in Sodom. The controversy about the Smicha. I mean, they realized the potential of Moshiach's time.
And that's why the...
And there was a struggle over the Smicha. Gave them Smicha. I mean,
no, they don't have to get Smicha. That's why I quoted the Rambam. The Rambam says that the power is invested in the majority of Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. If they decide to give a certain individual smicha, that smicha has the same power as the smicha of Moshe. And the fact is that there was a majority of Gedolei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael that did give a number of people smicha. What we're asking is, why did that debate arise then, at that time?
What's the other half of the debate?
The other half of the debate could have been a number of... Yeah.
I mean,
No, it was not the controversy.
The potential existed at the time, so what was the problem? That couldn't have been the problem that they made the decision that this meeting can be given.
The decision that... In other words, the decision was taken that they can give smicha.
All right, so
and they did, in fact, give smicha.
Fine.
Which means, in a sense, they are laying the groundwork
for
the next step, which should be... There were those who said... I don't know, there may have been those who said, listen, when Moshiach comes, he will pass in this shaila. Because even the Rambam, not everybody agrees with the Rambam. The Rambam's Shita is a unique one, that this power is held in the hands of the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael, that a majority of them can give smicha, but there are others who hold that that's not so. That the only time there's going to be a renewal of that smicha is when Mashiach, in fact, comes. So that was a... No, I'm not going to say that the Chet was a sin of Gedolei Yisrael. That was not the Chet. They're not the ones that sin. They're not sinners. The sin was, I'm ready to accept what Kim says, that if the Ottoman Empire is ready to... Jews are running around the world looking for a haven. Jews were looking for a place. So why didn't they come? So there were those who came to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, most of these Rabbanim and Tzvat were Olim. It's not all of them.
The reason why they didn't come is that they found a better place earlier than...
A better place earlier. What are we going to do with that better place? Better place.
It was on the way.
All right, so it's the same problem that we have today, except today, the fact, of course, is that nearly half of Klal Yisrael has come here. We've said it time and time again, often. There's never been a kibbutz goliot of this sort, but there are certainly two stages in kibbutz goliot. There are those who come, let's say there are three groups. Those who come voluntarily on their own, those who come because they must come on their own, and then there are those that Mashiach is going to have to... Exactly the word I was going to use. He's going to have to schlep them. Umekabeitz nidche. Umekabeitz nidche. Did you want to hear something?
I think also in the Kibbutz time there were Rabbanim who said that
Rabbi Loza Tortilla is the one who said, no, there ain't going to be no Mashiach. Grass is going to grow here. Hair is going to grow here on the palm of my hand. He was, in other words, to say that those who were opposed to the smicha because they didn't feel that it was, you know, I'm going to take a look again. It must be 30 years since I learned the machloket of on the smicha.
Is it a question of
hit-orerut? Hit-orerut? That's not a nice word today. Hit-orerut is the group that's opposed to Yeshiva Bachum being the Tnuat Hit-orerut, yeah.
Is that a perpetual question?
It's a perpetual question. But it's less a question in our time than it has been in any of the previous time in history. Before we find, I have to get to the fourth period that Rav Tam said was the 20th century, the Holocaust. Following suffering of the Holocaust, there had to be God stretching out his hand to pour out his great kindness and love to the Jewish people. And that's how the That's why the State of Israel was born. This was the Ribbono Shel Olam's attempt at building and repairing the relationship that existed between him and Klal Yisrael. And it all goes back to this Malbim and this chapter 11 that comes after chapter 10. The potential for Mashiach comes at the moment that Klal Yisrael has fallen to its lowest. And here in the days of some terror, can't get much lower than Klal Yisrael are at this moment in history. And then once Sancheriv is destroyed at the gates of Yerushalayim, so already what is operating? What's operating at this point? What's operating at this point is already Chesed, the corollary that Yerushalayim is starting to pour out his love and grace to the Jewish people. Therefore the potential exists. And there may have been other periods in Jewish history where the same thing. And I'm sure that a number of the periods during the Dark Ages in Europe when Jews never suffered terribly. And even earlier, 14th century, 13th and 14th century, Crusades, Black Plague, Pagnish, epidemics. Yes, there were so many possibilities. Now, Shushan, the problem over there was the Jews were already on their way back to Eretz Yisrael. There were 42,000 Jews already in Eretz Yisrael. And these others are sitting around over there enjoying the party of Ahasuerus. So therefore, chapter 11, simply by virtue of the fact that it follows chapter 10, establishes this major principle in Jewish history. And therefore we can understand why there was a sense of Mashiach in the air at different moments in Jewish history. It's in direct relationship to the amount of suffering that the Jewish people had gone through. Yes?
There has been a discussion about why the Jews have to think so low in their suffering and their non-observance of Halakha for God is then to express it and give us this idea that maybe they'll be.
I don't know, I'd have to rephrase the question and reframe the whole thing. In other words, it's not that we have to fall so low, it's that we do fall so low.
The same thing in the Eretz Yisrael.
Or the Egel.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're still the best people on the face of this earth. I always say, discussion like this has to end, not how odd of God to choose the Jews. He knows exactly what he had in mind. We still are the best people on the face of this earth. I think so. What?
Oh.
What do you mean? We're the only ones who know it.
They hate us because they know it's true.
Oh, now you're saying the Rambam and the Geta Taiman. They hate us because they know it's true. But sometimes, I tell you the truth, sometimes I have difficulty seeing it as well. Listen, if one of the members of my synagogue came over to me after davening this past Shabbos to take issue with me about something that I had said the Shabbos before, I mean, you know, with Shabbos Zohar, so you talk about Amalek, so, you know,
In the course of a 15-minute sermon, I said at some point, you know, the one who kills men, women, and children, this is the definition of Amalek. It happens to be the Rav of Soloveitchik. Okay. So she comes over to me, she says, Amarta, Shemisha Horeg, Nashim, the Taf, Zamalek. And what about killing a 9-year-old Palestinian? All right. Now, the fact is that I didn't explode, which is a great accomplishment. Great account. But I mean, I guess you really want to say that Klal Yisrael Jews who are defending themselves, we're Amalek, Jews who defend themselves and leave their children at home, and those who take their children out to the battlefield, you know, we're going out for a teal, let's go out to a demonstration, and then this is all the same. This is all the same. All right. I don't know why, it had something to do with something you said that triggered it off. Okay.